Good morning, church. It's good to see you this morning. I know quite a few of you, but there are quite a few that I don't know. If you or we haven't had a chance to meet just yet, my name is Matthew Jacobson. I'm the principal over at Sacramento Adventist Academy, or SAA. And it's good to be here. I have been here for 10 years. My family with me. We moved from the Midwest. And every time I come to this church specifically, I am reminded of home. It just takes me back to that small church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And every time I get a chance to share with my family, I was just telling my kids, like, this is what it felt like when I was growing up in church. So thank you for having me. It's good to be here. Every time I get a chance to get up in front of one of our churches, I'm always thinking, what do I say? What does the principal, or what should the principal say? Thank you, church. It should be a big concept, and it is a big concept, but it should also be a concept that's also accessible to us, something that we're able to experience on a regular basis, and not just something that's so aspirational and so far away. And I think we're experiencing one of those Kingdom of Heaven moments right here today in Sabbath school, in worship. To me, it is always such a blessing to see how hymns and special music pair together with sermon, even though we've never coordinated these things together. So I want to talk about Kingdom of Heaven, and I've got an ask for you right now. My ask is, just think about the Kingdom of Heaven for a moment. And then ask yourself this question: what does it mean to you? Go ahead and close your eyes now. Okay, close your eyes. Can you picture the Kingdom of Heaven? Is there a specific thought that comes to mind, a specific concept, a specific person, a specific place? Keep coming back to that as we talk here this morning. The Kingdom of Heaven. When I think of the Kingdom of Heaven, as I've been thinking of the Kingdom of Heaven over these last few weeks, as I've been thinking about it right into today, I have been thinking to myself, the Kingdom of Heaven of my childhood, and then the Kingdom of Heaven of my adulthood. There's connection for sure, but they're very different. In Scripture, Scripture presents heaven as both a place and an idea. And we'll spend some time looking at the book of Matthew specifically, because that's Matthew's big thematic focus, this concept, this place of the Kingdom of Heaven. But I thought it might be helpful for you, principal of our school, speaker within church today, to just let you into a little bit of my personal perspective. Take a look at the image just on the screen behind me. This is the Kingdom of Heaven of my childhood. This is the Kingdom of Heaven of my mother's Sabbath school class. Right? It's perfect, right? Lions, lambs together. It's a natural scene. We've got flowing water, rolling hills, trees, bright sunshine. This is a perfect place. And my mother, I was so happy when I found this. My mother would, and other Sabbath school teachers, she would present this idea of the Kingdom of Heaven as a place with felts. And each felt, if you look really closely, and maybe there's felts just like this within some of the Sabbath school classrooms right here, but if you look really closely, each person is very calm. Each person's very happy. They're contented. They're talking. Jesus is right there within their midst. I'd look at this as a kid and I would think to myself, man, heaven is going to be the best place ever. Heaven is so perfect. Heaven is so nice. And it wasn't just the image that we were looking at as kids, but it was also the way in which heaven was presented to us. Smiling teacher, laughing, singing, affectionate teacher coming over to give us hugs. It was the full package experience there. It was perfect. It is perfect. Look at it. Like, how could you top that experience or that idea of the Kingdom of Heaven? Other people have shaped this view over the years, other Sabbath school teachers, pastors, teachers, of course. But this one always comes to mind for me. It was very well presented, clearly constructed, and even now, 30-some-odd years later, if I close my eyes, one of the things I at least think of when I think of the kingdom of heaven is that place. So, can you relate to this kingdom of heaven? Have you had a similar Sabbath school experience? Perhaps. This is the kingdom of heaven as proper noun. This is the kingdom of heaven with a very specific definition, right? It's a place. It has a name that everybody knows. There's very specific characteristics. Think of those natural scenes. And there are residents within this kingdom of heaven. This is, to me, the aspirational kingdom of heaven, the place that we would all love to be one day, the place that is just perfect, the place that is nothing sometimes like the world in which we live. This is kingdom of heaven as a place. So in preparing for today, I asked myself a couple of questions, as I often do. I think it's the part of the researcher to ask questions, try to think of things in different ways. And one of the questions I asked myself was, is heaven only a place? Is heaven, can I go back here? Is heaven just this? Or is it more than that? And maybe you're like me, maybe you're one of these individuals sometimes that struggles to live in a world that's very different than that view of heaven. It is a struggle sometimes to reconcile a perfect place in an imperfect world. If you've ever struggled with that question, or heaven's too perfect, this place isn't too perfect, maybe it'll be helpful for you if I share with you the kingdom of heaven of my adulthood. And I think you might be able to relate with some of these experiences. This is a picture of my older daughter, Emma. And just behind us, just over our heads there, that's Crater Lake up in South Central Oregon. Beautiful place. We got to take a family vacation there earlier this year in the summer. And then this is a picture of the Deschutes River, a little bit further away in Oregon. But this is the kingdom of heaven of my adulthood. So on this vacation, and I don't vacation well. I don't vacation enough. Maybe some of you can relate to this experience. Some of you who just work so hard, you're just so committed to what you do. It's hard to sometimes let go of work or let go of life happening. But I was able to do that on this vacation. Right here on the Deschutes River, we're just floating along down the river on inner tubes, enjoying nature, swimming every once in a while, laughing, having a great time with our friends, amongst our family. And after a few minutes, we stop swimming, we stop doing anything else, and I'm just sitting in my tube and I'm going, this is nice. This is quiet. 85, 90 degrees outside, perfectly sunny. And we come around a corner of the Deschutes River, and then just above the tree line, kind of framed perfectly, is Mount Bachelor. And then I look at that scene, and then I look over to Jennifer, and I look over to Emma, and I think to myself, my life is so perfect right now. That moment, 2 minutes maybe, you know, where I'm finally not thinking about anything else, and I'm finally just enjoying my family and enjoying this experience, and I go, this is the kingdom of heaven. This is a good thing right now. This is peace. That feeling of everything's okay. Here's another kingdom of heaven moment for me. And I put this in because some of you know me quite well, and I wanted to share with you some of the big moments, like a family moment like that that's just perfectly beautiful. That's helpful. Here's another kingdom of heaven moment for me. This is my favorite basketball player in the world. This is the best basketball player in the world, actually. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Right, Mr. Lucero? He agrees. Yes, I guess. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The Milwaukee Bucks, they won the NBA championship a year ago. And this is just one sequence that I love coming back to. I love looking at this picture because it just brings back so many fun, simple memories for me. But more than just the experience of watching the game, more than just my team winning, this is kingdom of heaven for me because all throughout this playoff experience, my brothers, my childhood friends, we're texting each other, we're talking to each other, we're connected to each other. We share these pictures with each other. It's kingdom of heaven. because I'm not alone. It's kingdom of heaven because I have people who care about me. Other simpler moments that I don't have a picture of are really wonderful Sabbath mornings when it's just Jennifer and I sitting out on our back patio, talking quietly. Slow, it's quiet, it's peaceful. We do it like every week. But every week I say to myself, man, how could my life get better than this? My life is so good. And it is. Those are beautiful moments. Here's another beautiful moment outside of my personal life into my work life. Maybe you've had these experiences, church, where you feel like what you're doing matters. You feel like you have meaning to other people. I get a chance to spend time with our students pretty regularly, but particularly with young students. And there's a connection here to the verse that Ms. Glass read earlier, particularly with younger students, because I don't think kids know what principals do. I don't think they understand what happens behind the scenes, but when they see you, man, it's like you are the most important person within their world. They come over, they give you hugs, they smile with you. This is one of those kingdom of heaven moments where you just feel like you matter. All of these examples are adult versions of the idea, right? These are feelings more than places, states of being or states of feeling. Yes, there's places sometimes attached to it, but there's also people attached to it, but it's not just one thing. It is a concept. Can you relate to this within your own life? Maybe I've shared enough of the family or the work or the personal interest for you to go, okay, I see where you're going. I can relate to that experience. So again, as I'm preparing for today, I'm asking myself questions. And the question I'm asking myself sometimes is, am I focused too much on this life? Am I focused too much on just this life experience, this version of the kingdom of heaven? Am I putting too much time into my work? Am I putting too much time into my family? Am I too content with just here and now? We're going to transition over to Matthew in just a moment, but ask yourself the same question. Are you thinking too much about today? Or too much about just this week, or too much about your nuclear family unit or your friendship group? I think it's a worthwhile question for us to ask. Matthew, like I said, he presents Kingdom of Heaven as both a place and an idea. Here, we'll first look at Kingdom of Heaven as a place. And I encourage you, if you have time this afternoon, throughout this week, think on this concept, think on this place, because there are dozens and dozens of examples throughout the entire book of Matthew in which he discusses the kingdom of heaven. But these are two quick examples, one from our key text this morning. Matthew 18:3, Jesus says to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Just the act of entering a place suggests it is a place, right? You can't enter an idea. He is very clearly saying to his disciples are arguing about this very thing. Who gets to be the greatest in this eventual place? Defined with residence, with specific characteristics. Then in 1922, Jesus says, "If you would be perfect..." This is when he's speaking to the rich young ruler. Jesus says, "Go and sell what you possess, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." It is a promise for later, right? In a place. So very, very clearly, Matthew, through the teachings and words of Jesus, is saying, the kingdom of heaven is certainly a place. We agree with this, right, church? Later in Matthew, and in dozens and dozens of other spaces within Matthew, even more spaces actually throughout the book, Jesus presents the kingdom of heaven as an idea, as a feeling, as a state of being, as sometimes people, sometimes place, etc. In chapter 20, verse 1, Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard." Right? He's not saying it as a place here. He's making a comparison to an experience that people could relate to. He's telling a parable to try to get people to understand that the kingdom of heaven isn't only a place. The kingdom of heaven is also something that you need to be working on right now. And the kingdom of heaven, when we eventually get there to that place, will be a place in which we have relationship, where we have connections. And then in verse 25:1, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Again, it's another parable. It's another opportunity for Jesus to present characteristics of individuals who live there, behaviors of individuals, ideas. It's really quite cool. Matthew dedicates an entire book to both place and to idea. So earlier I asked you the question, which way do you lean within your life? I spent more time intentionally speaking about the kingdom of heaven of my adulthood this morning, because if I'm fully honest with you, it's where I tend to lean, because it's close. I can, to an extent, I can control it, right? If I put out good words, good actions to those around me, oftentimes I receive that in return. So I lean into the kingdom of heaven of my adulthood. I'm not sure I should as much as I do, but I definitely do. And here's why. Because the more people that I'm connected to and the older I get, sometimes it's hard to think of the kingdom of heaven that's so perfect of my childhood, because it's so far away. At SAA this year, we've got students from a number of countries just near and around the conflict within Ukraine. We have students from Ukraine. We have students from Belarus. We have students from Moldova. Right there. So, so far away from Kingdom of Heaven as a place. These families have been forced to move. They've been uprooted. They've lost family members. They've lost jobs. And I think that's not my experience. But as I open up my phone, as I read the news, as I think of these families, oftentimes those are the things that push me into what I can control and what I can stay connected to, my family, my life, because this world is so, so far away from heaven as a place, isn't it? I would guess that if I asked you to vote with your feet, we could probably move some of you to one side of the church and some of you to the other side of the church. And it's not one is right, one is wrong kind of a question, but it's where do you lean within the question? We'd probably be divided. Some of you might lean with me and you'd go, yeah, I do think of heaven as just an idea for now. Some of you might go the other way and say, no, heaven is always a place. But I think the big question facing us church, facing me, is how do we connect the two? How do we reconcile these ideas with this big, far-off, significant place? Because a correct view, Matthew does this really well within his gospel, a correct view requires us to create the connection. And I think a correct life for us, or a balanced life in terms of this concept and our relationship to our Creator, says that we've got to find the balance too. So we heard it earlier. I'll take you back to this text, and I'll read the text for you as you listen or as you follow along. Here's what I'm presenting to us this morning as, here's the balance, here's the reconciliation, here's the connection. And it's not new, but I think it's meaningful and worthwhile for us. So in Matthew 18, 1-5, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's going to be the greatest in that place? And Jesus, within this workplace squabble, it's kind of fantastic, Jesus doesn't directly answer their question. He pulls a child over and and calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Here's the answer. Here's the reconciliation moment. But I'm going to ask you a question. Why does Jesus pick a child? I'll pause so you can think about that. Why a child? I hear some of you providing answers. I love that, right? It's a good teacher moment. I used to be a teacher, right? Why do you think Jesus emphasized to his disciples in that moment of asking, like, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Why does he emphasize a child? I think I know. I think you know. I think you're saying it to one another right now. I think it's because kids are honest. I think it's because kids are open. I think they're vulnerable and real. They believe in responsibility. They believe in just a clear-cut right and wrong. I love talking to children. I get to talk to a lot of kids that misbehave, right? But kids are so beautiful, not like us as adults, because when you really put a question to a kid, you get an honest answer in return. Kids are dependent, and they're unashamed to admit that they need other people. It's an amazing thing, and I'm talking, you know, a five-year-old maybe up to like a 9 or 10-year-old, right? There's something beautiful about the way that kids view the world and the way that they process things. And then something terrible happens to us as we get older, right? Somewhere between that childhood version of the kingdom of heaven and that adult version that I've shared with you from my perspective, we quit being honest. We're not so open. We're a bit more guarded. We're not as vulnerable. We don't want to tell each other that we need help. It's hard for us. It's hard for us to find that reconciliation moment. I've admitted to you here today, we lean away from place, and sometimes we lean into just an idea that we can control, that we can make what we need it to be, right? I can sit with who I want to sit with at church, right? I can choose my own friends, right? I can run my family the way that I want to run it. Something changes from that childhood experience into adulthood. So think back to those verses, and I've only shared a couple of them with you today. Think back to those verses from Matthew 19, right? To the rich young ruler, Jesus says, give graciously to something bigger than yourself. You ever talk to a student and experience generosity from a student or a child? Kids willingly believe in something significant. They willingly believe in something big. If Jesus puts the same question to a child and not an adult when he's talking to that rich young ruler, a child probably says, of course. Of course I'll give. Of course I'll help my neighbor. Of course I'll follow you. So church, I think there's action for us here. I think the action is, let's think about ourselves a little bit less. And let's think about each other just a little bit more. Our theme this year at SAA is more than me. We're trying to get our students to look out. I think we should do that every day. I think that's a kingdom of heaven aspirational task. Two, think of us instead of me. Create we moments instead of them moments. Pull people in to community. Think of Matthew 20. The parable of the laborers in the field. One of my favorite parables. Love it. It's not about equity. It's not about fairness. Adults think like that, don't we? Right? Well, I did this. I should be paid, or I should be acknowledged for this. Kids don't. You know what kids think about within that parable of the workers within the field as the master is hiring them at different moments? Kids understand the meaning of that parable, which is, the blessing, that the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach there is, it's about the person who got to know Jesus the longest. That's what kids think about. They value relationships. That's one of their highest priorities. So church, another action step for us is, this is a place that values relationship, right? This is a place that values community. This isn't my home church. But this is something that I've taken to heart within my home church is we got to be involved. We got to work. I love hearing Brent talk about the work bee that's coming up. We've got to invest in places like this so that they remain places that value and create community and relationship. And here's my closing thought, church. Think of the parable of the 10 virgins from Matthew 25. That parable is about where we're going. And it's about who we're going to spend that time with. Kids understand that. Kids very, very easily think of Kingdom of Heaven as a place. Kids are excited about that experience of getting to talk with Jesus, excited about that experience of getting to hang out with one another. They are so consumed by the where and the who. And again, that's the reconciliation moment for us, or that's the lesson for us there. Church, Matthew talks about, through his entire gospel, he talks about one place and one idea. Through these simple action steps that I've outlined, through that key text that we've looked at, I think we're supposed to be doing the same thing. I think we're supposed to be thinking about Kingdom of Heaven, creating those moments right here on earth, and I think we also need to be unabashedly talking about it as a place that we will soon be going to.